Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all believers and viewers in the world who are attending this service through internet. From the last session, I began to explain to you what kind of life the children of God would live in heaven and what sort of lives they have in common. First of all, we looked into the clothes that we would wear in heaven. Today, I will speak to you what kind of food we will eat in heaven. What kind of food do you like best? What is your favorite dish? Do you know what my favorite food is? I like rice best. I like many different kinds of rice. Side dish, of course, it's kimchi. No matter how many and wonderful foods are on the table, if there is no kimchi, then I don't enjoy that much. Well, listen to this message while remembering your favorite dish, all right? Some of you enjoy meat and seafood, or some others cookies, bread. Now, when you enter heaven, will you eat the same food that you have enjoyed and liked best on earth? Some say that it is one of the greatest joys to eat the best food. Then, are you afraid that you will fail to find your favorite food in heaven? For those of you who have the same worry, I want to say that you don't have to worry and urge you to listen to this message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you think the first people that God had made, Adam and Eve, ate in the Garden of Eden? God said to them in Genesis 1:29, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you." Adam and Eve were created as living spirits. The food that they ate in the Garden of Eden in the second heaven was every plant yielding seed and every fruit yielding seed. Every fruit yielding seed refers to the fruits that are born on the trees, such as apples, pears, grapes, and peaches, while every plant yielding seed indicates watermelons, strawberries, melons, tomatoes, and the like. These fruits abounded in the Garden of Eden, so the descendants that Adam and Eve had given birth to therein did not need to toil and sweat for food. Then what happened to them after they committed the sin of disobedience and were driven out of Eden and into the earth? Genesis 3:18-19 says, "But both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Because of the sin of Adam, the land that used to be under his control was accursed and began to grow unnecessary trees and grasses, including thorns and thistles. Until the ground was cursed, when a seed fell to the ground, it used to yield as much as 160 or 30 times. But since the ground was cursed, man could gain plants of the fields only by clearing the land and with the sweat of toils. Plants of the fields mean not only real plants of the fields, but also everything that you gained through your toils. Thus, when the human cultivation started, everything that was grown in the fields were food for man. When did then mankind begin to eat meat? It was just after the great flood occurred in the time of Noah. God said in Genesis 9, 3 and 4, "Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I will give all to you. I give all to you, and I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood." After the flood of Noah, God allowed man to eat meat, but God separated unclean animals from clean ones and allowed them to eat only meat of clean animals. Later, God told his people in detail what unclean and abominable animals are and forbade them to eat those unclean meat. Unclean and detestable animals have evil and wicked natures. So the evil and wicked natures are stored in a people when they eat those animals. When you have a boil fester, then you're not allowed to eat pork. According to a Korean herb remedy, if you eat pork, then it becomes worse. But if you eat lamb or beef, then it doesn't get worse. The people of Israel who feared God did not eat unclean animals, just as the law says, and they are still doing that. Daniel and his three friends were taken away as captives to a Gentile land and were served with the king's choice food. But they told the officials of the king that they would eat only plants lest they should eat the food God had forbidden. As a result, as said in Daniel 1:15, at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Well, it means when they ate vegetables by the word of God, they looked better and they became healthier. John the Baptist, who made ready the way of the Lord Jesus, ate locusts and honey. The people are permitted to eat locusts, as said in Leviticus 11:22. When the New Testament time started and the gospel spread to the Gentiles, the apostles regulated the decrees on food. The regulations did not force the Gentiles to do everything that the Jews did, but there were a couple of things that were still forbidden for them as well. Because the Jews have kept the law for ages, they were able to survive without eating such detestable foods. But for the Gentiles, they have lived their lives eating all those detestable things. If it had been forbidden, they could have had a very hard time, so the Gentiles were not forced as much as the Jews. The decrees are written in Acts 21:25, but concerning the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, having decided that they should abstain from meat sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what is strangled and from fornication. So those Gentiles might eat those detestable foods except the four things. They must abstain from meat sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what is strangled. Now, what is the meat from what is strangled? It's a dog. I'm not sure how nowadays people kill dogs, but until the 80s, they strangled the dogs. They may have a different method now. Well, people in the old days killed cows hitting on their back head and twisted chickens. But people strangled dogs to kill them. When I pray to God, thinking if there was any other animal that is strangled, God told me that He meant dogs. And He also explained why we should not eat dog meat but is strangled. That is because dogs can recognize their masters. They like to serve their masters. They recognize their masters, sacrifice themselves to save their master's life. They recognize the master's look. They recognize the master's smell, and that they welcome their masters. Of course, cows work for their masters too, but they don't recognize the master's voice. If people kill such dogs that can recognize their master and that can sacrifice for their master, how cruel would it be to eat them? That's why God forbid people to eat dogs. and it's still valid in these New Testament times. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of food will you eat during the Millennium Kingdom? At the time, those who survived during the 7 years of Great Tribulation will sow seeds and harvest their fruits or pick up and eat the fruits of the trees. There will be no air pollution, nor worms, nor harmful insects like before the earth was cursed. So fruits abound in the mountains and fields, and those fruits will be large and look appetizing. And the enemy devil and Satan will be changed into the bottomless pit, and fleshly people will not reveal the evils of their hearts, as they will not kill animals, they will not eat meat, but only plants. I'm not talking about those whose spirit is saved. I'm talking about the fleshly people who survive, and they will marry and multiply to fill this land again. What about those saved children of God? What will they eat in the Millennium Kingdom? Since they will wear the resurrected bodies, they will be perfectly fine just with the aromas of fruits and flowers, but they will also be able to eat fleshly food. The Bible tells us that our resurrected Lord ate roasted fish and bread along with his disciples. In John 21:12-13, Jesus said to his peoples, "Come and have breakfast." Some of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. This is what happened after the Lord was resurrected. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he gave the fish likewise. Our Lord ate food along with his disciples, not because he felt hungry, but because he wanted to let us know that we can eat fleshly food with the resurrected body. However, spiritual people will regard the fleshly food as unsavory. It's not because their taste is changed. The reason is coming. In Korea, special experiences of food of the Korean War is held at many places in Korea. People have a chance to try some of the old food. Well, people were so poor at that time, and there was basically nothing left after the Korean War. So at the festivals, there are various old-fashioned foods, including rice flour substitutes of coarse and hard barley cakes and boiled barley soups. Long ago, since there were not many things to eat, the people enjoyed such foods. When I went my friends home along with my other friends, we were happy, so happy when we were served with such raw food. But if you try them now, you wouldn't say they are tasty, even if they used to be. Even if you liked them by then, they were not as tasty as they were. Students or young adults who are familiar with white rice and soft bread will not say it is tasty at all. If they were forced to live by such food, still they would not eat even if they are paid to eat it. During the Millennium Kingdom, spiritual people will not enjoy fleshly food because they have the resurrected bodies. Right after the Korean War, or in the 50s or 60s, those wheat cakes and plasters were so delicious. We also had gums back then. When we chewed a wheat for quite a long time, then it became like gum. But if we give such things to the people of these days, who will eat them? Spiritual people will seldom eat fleshly food, but when they are invited by fleshly people, they will be able to eat fleshly food happily with them. After they eat the fleshly food, it will be decomposed and come out of the body through breathing. The people of spirit don't need to go to the restroom, right? In the millennium kingdom, these people of flesh will still have to go to the restrooms, but the people of spirit, no. How comfortable and interesting it is that the food eaten will come out of the body through breathing, remain a sweet smell, and disappear quietly. So the spiritual people will not need smelly restaurants at all. Smelly restrooms at all, not only at the Millennium Kingdom, but also in heaven. Do you think the people of spirit will eat lots of food? They will eat just a little of them. They will not need to go to restrooms, nor will there be any restrooms. This tells us that how clean, fresh, and comfortable the heaven is for us to dwell therein. Compare these two things. You put them in your mouth, chew them, and then they go down to your stomach, and you have to go to restrooms to take those out, and you must clean yourself after you use restrooms. Well, nowadays there is a bidet so that you can clean yourself easily. But anyway, it's so complicated. But if you go to heaven, you don't need to do all this stuff. Brothers and sisters in Christ, from now on, let us delve into the food we will eat in heaven. The heavenly body we will wear in heaven will be more perfect and more proper for the spiritual world than when we are in the millennium kingdom. The heavenly body will be able to live forever by the power of life given by God, even though we eat nothing there. Our Lord Jesus told us in the Bible that the heavenly body can live even without eating food. In Matthew 26:29, Jesus said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The fruit of the vine here refers to everything edible that has been created by the Lord, who is the true vine. It does not mean only grapes. Our Lord has eaten nothing since the time He resurrected and ascended into heaven. Only when the human cultivation comes to an end and the 7 years of wedding banquet begins will our Lord eat along with His brides who have gained salvation. That's what the Lord is saying here. Just as our Lord has lived for 2,000 years without eating anything, we can live without food when we put on the resurrected body. When we eat food in heaven, however, the aroma and ingredients included in the food will influence our body. In heaven, we sometimes eat food through our mouth, but we will become filled with the grace only through breathing. Our resurrected body will smell and take in the aroma from fruits and flowers. In the Old Testament's time, Abraham sacrificed to God under an oak tree. Noah also sacrificed too. Then what did God say? He said He took in the aroma. Then would God take in the smell of the burning of the sacrifice? Would that smell reach heaven? No. Then what did God take in? God take in the aroma of the people who sacrificed to God. When people sacrifice to God, God searches whether and how sincerely they sacrifice to God. Let's say you are so poor, but you sacrifice a bull and think, "Geez, I could have survived many months if I had eaten it." Then would God take in the sacrifice? No, He would not. God takes in when people worship Him with all their love, faith, and sincerity. So, when you give offerings to God, God searches your heart whether there is sincerity. God sees you whether you give with sincere heart. You wake up on Sunday and hurry to find an envelope to put some offerings in or write a check in a church. Do you think it'll be a sincere offering? At least you prepare your offerings a week ahead, then how pleased would they be? I myself prepare at least a month ahead. Whenever there is a new note, then I save them to use as offerings a month ahead. Then, after I put it in an envelope, I pray, and I give them as Friday offering, Sunday offering, and building construction offering. I've done it since I was a novice. In heaven, we can take in the aroma through the nose, mouth, eyes, all parts of the body, and even the heart. Our resurrected body will become more filled with joy and happiness when we take in the aroma. Just as people on the earth eat various foods for their good health, the heavenly bodies will enjoy taking in the aromas. So we will enjoy taking in various aromas from the fruits and flowers. In heaven, we'll never become bored of anything. So no matter how many times we smell the same flowers, we can always enjoy the same happiness. If the heavenly body takes in the aromas will permeate into the skin of the body and radiate the aromas back from the skin for the time being. Just as we feel happy after sprinkling perfume on our skin, our heavenly bodies will become more filled with life after taking in the aromas. Thus, in heaven, our heavenly bodies will enjoy taking in the aromas and eat food. The food eaten will be decomposed and come out of the body through breathing. What kind of food? Oh, it's even more so because it's fruit. What kind of fruit will we eat in heaven? We will eat mainly various fruits and drink various beverages made with the water of life. The tree of life bears 12 kinds of fruits, each of which tastes and smells differently. In addition to the fruits of the tree of life, there are countless kinds of fruits in heaven. In 1984, when I received the revelations about heaven, I tasted the fruits of the tree of life in spirit. When God explained to me about the fruit, He made me feel it, and the scent of flowers, too. I cannot forget that feeling. It never disappears. The taste could not be expressed with words, nor could be compared with anything of this world. Just as we can feel refreshed when we chew mints, when I tasted the fruits of the tree of life, my body was filled with grace and strength, and I felt as ecstatic. We can enjoy these wonderful fruits anywhere in heaven, and there will be countless kinds of those fruits. In heaven, we'll not drink only the water of life. There are various beverages to drink that smell their own aromas. In heaven, we can live forever, even if we eat nothing, and always be happy and joyful because of the fact that we are in heaven. When we eat and drink fruits and beverages that have their own taste and aromas, we'll be much happier. In this world, when you feel so happy, you may say that you can live without any food or you already feel full. But if you eat some with that happy mind, you'll be much happier, right? It is the same in heaven. When you enter heaven, will you eat the same food that you have enjoyed on this earth? No? Do you think there'll be the same meat, bread, or cakes that you have enjoyed here? We sometimes want to eat any special food. Sometimes we want to eat meat or spicy food or sweet food. Thus, we want to eat any special and specific food according to the necessity of our condition and our taste. Well, you must not eat anything just because you feel like it. I received a letter, and I felt sorry for her while I read it. She passed away after she ate something she felt like. Let me read it for you. Beloved senior pastor, Jerock Lee, it is a mix of emotions what I feel at this moment writing to you about Erlin. For all the news that I was receiving from Deborah, her niece, and her sister Jean, it was the 3 1/2 weeks ago, she, Erlin, received the first wave of healing from the 5 years of terminal ovarian cancer. Then 2 weeks ago, she finally received the complete healing as she awoke from her semi-comatose state due to the wasting disease and the continuous use of prescribed morphine that left her at only 50 pounds of total weight. She was so happy, and she was so happy the very first day that she experienced the touch of the prayer cloth that you kindly sent her, that she asked that nurses not to take it from her body. Because if God had prolonged her life, she knew that Jesus Christ will heal her. After receiving handkerchief prayer, she recovered. So she asked others not to take the handkerchief away from her. She couldn't move her body, but she had faith that she would be healed completely through the handkerchief. So she asked them not to take it away. A week later, wearing the anointed prayer cloth, the tumor in her abdomen diminished 50%. The size of cancer was as big as a soccer ball, so her stomach was so big. Then 10 days later, the cancer disappeared completely. She was overjoyed and wanted to give testimony of her healing by Jesus and to thank you for being a faithful servant of God and for sending the anointed prayer cloth. She asked for food, but so many years on morphine took a toll in her intestines. Despite that, the nurses at the hospice couldn't find a trace of the metastatic cancer, terminal cancer. Some of them were in disbelief. She early was praising Jesus Christ for the miracle in her life. She was asking day by day when she could go into the world, into the WCD and USA conference to give testimony of her miracle. A few days ago, she could not eat anymore because her intestines couldn't move and pass food, nor could she digest the food in her stomach. It continued until she was so weak that her body gave up due to the intestinal obstruction, which collected so much fluid in her body, causing, according to her doctors, a heart attack. At the hospice, due to some regulations, nobody could do anything to feed her Erlin by IV, so she could not get energized. Nor did they even call any doctors, since the hospice is for people to go to die. It was the regulation because it was a hospice. Her family, especially Jean Reeves, who is a nurse, were very upset and were questioning God why He healed just to allow her to die a few days later, March 19, 2007 at night. We didn't know it, but we called her yesterday and prayed with her, Jean. Consoled and counseled her about the sovereignty of God, His will and His purpose and His infinite wisdom in knowing what is the best for us and for Erlin until she accepted and felt better. Senior Pastor Dr. Gerald Lee, we prayed for us also to understand better in this particular case, but above all, we submit ourselves to His mercy and grace. In Jesus' love, Dr. Pineda. Well, the reason that I read this letter to you is that you must not make the same mistake again. You doctors, please explain to her well. What will happen to the intestine if a patient were not able to eat for a year? Of course, it will be so weak. What would happen to the intestines if the patient ate any food without caution? There are procedures to recover. All the mommy members know because they learned through 20, 30, or 40-day fasting. Once it's over 30 days, you cannot eat even drink water. If you drink water, it gets stuck in the middle. The stomach will get upset. Then you have to throw up. Even water cannot go down to your intestine like this. Not to mention other foods. But thankfully, a thin rice gruel can do the job. The body can take this thin rice gruel. You make it very thin, very, very thin, almost like water. Then you take a very small portion. You drink 4 small cups of this thin rice gruel a day. Then it will recover your throat, your stomach, and it will go down. All the intestine can recover little by little like this. This is called a recovery meal. And all those who do fasting eat this recovery meal. If you fast for 40 days, then you must take this recovery meal at least for 20 days. But what if a patient ignored all these and ate whatever she felt like? What would happen to her? She couldn't eat, digest. She passed away. I feel so sorry about her. If there had been at least one mommy member, if someone some had told her what to do, she didn't know this fact. Well, she didn't know this fact. I was told that she ate quite a lot. So, please, you must not eat whatever only because you feel like it. Thus, we want to eat any special and specific food according to the necessity of our condition and our tastes. If we eat and drink those foods that we want, our bodies will be healthier and our hearts will be happier. Well, some of you whose stomach is not good come to me and receive my prayer, right? I ask them, how do you eat? Then they just eat the way they used to eat, spicy and salty food. What should you do if there is a problem with your stomach? Do you think it will be okay if you just eat whatever you want? You must avoid spicy, salty, and strong food, don't you think? I have a very good stomach, but do you know how I eat? Since I promised to eat just red hot pepper paste and soy sauce with rice, I eat them. And there is a bowl of water, and there is kimchi and a soup. Well, I think there are quite many dishes then. The reason there is a bowl of water is that, since almost all dishes are spicy, I put kimchi in that bowl of water so that it becomes less spicy. That's why there is a bowl of water all the time. Well, I always wash kimchi before I put it in my mouth. When we enter heaven, we will put on the heavenly body in accordance with the third heaven. And after that, our new bodies will not want to eat the same food that we have enjoyed here. We can live forever without any food, and we can feel happy only with fruits and beverages. And we will not feel like eating the same food anymore. Your taste is changed. You ate it when it was 50 or 60s. You were so thankful when someone gave you such tough food. But will you be still happy when people give you such food now? Since you've eaten many delicious dishes, your taste has been changed. If you go to heaven, you'll eat so many delicious food. Then even if you eat the most delicious food in this earth, you'll not think it's delicious. Can you understand? I told you to try to think of your favorite dish in the beginning, right? Even if you enjoy such food in this earth, once you go to heaven, you will forget about them. Because the food in heaven is far superior and much more delicious. However, we will remember the things that we have experienced during human cultivation on earth. And we will remember specific food and feel like experiencing its taste again. Then you'll be able to imitate the fleshy food and make it with almost the same smell and taste. But you will not prepare those fleshy food often. In other words, you'll not enjoy fleshy foods because the fruits and beverages in heaven are much better than those fleshy things. It is the same with the foods that many Korean people ate during the Korean War. For the last two sessions, I've explained about clothing and food in heaven. In the next session, I'll tell you about housing in heaven and how they are different in each dwelling place. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters in Christ. Today's scripture says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This promise was given to those who abandoned everything they possessed, followed Jesus, and walked the way of Jesus' disciples. When you enter heaven, some of you will be entitled to sit next to our Lord at the table that angels prepared and then eat and drink with Him. Some others will sit around the very nice tables at your heavenly mansion and elegantly enjoy the fruit set on the pretty crystal plates and be waited on by angels. Sometimes you will pick up the fruits that angels brought and eat them. The quality and taste of the fruits are different, according to different dwelling places. What kind of life do you want to lead in heaven? Our Father God will reward you just as you have sowed and done on earth. May each of you love the Father God from the heart so that you will receive the love of Father God not only on earth but also in heaven. In the name of our Lord, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.